topic this week? It's klirishon and klisheni. What are we talking about? What's a klirishon?
You pour water into your cup.
You pour water into a cup. And then you do what with it? Okay. So let's start earlier than that. We have a fire. Okay? Ignoring Shabbos for a minute, let's just understand the concept of klirishon. We have a fire. So there's one way to cook in a fire. That's just to stick something directly in the fire. You take a marshmallow on your stick, you stick it in the fire. You have those? Yes, you know what I'm talking about? You roast the marshmallows. Okay, that's called cooking directly into a fire. That's rare that we do that. We do that at campfires. We do that for fun, because it's delicious. But in your home, that is not the way you tend to cook. How do you tend to cook? You turn on the gas on your stove. Okay, so that's a fire. Do you cook directly in that fire? No, we take a pot. Let's say I want to boil some water. I'm going to take a pot, put it on the fire, put water in that pot, or in any order, meaning I'll put water in a pot, and put that pot on a fire. That pot that is cooking directly on a fire is what's known as a kli rishon, a primary vessel, a kli rishon. Now there's kli rishon. Let's say I take this pot that boiled up from the fire, and I take it off the fire, and I'm holding it in my hand, or I put it on the counter. What is its status? Is it still a kli rishon?
Yeah.
Yes. But now it's a lesser status of kli rishon, known as? Start again?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a fire,
yeah.
And I take water and put it in a pot and put that on the fire. That pot is what's called a kli rishon, primary vessel. It is cooked directly in fire. Now, if I take that same pot, after it's boiled up, and I lift it up off the fire, and I'm holding it in my hand, or I put it down anywhere, what is the status of that pot? It is now what's known as a kli rishon shelo al gabe ha'ish. Alternatively, it is what's known, the one you discussed last week, as toledat ha'or. This is now an item that was a kli rishon on the fire, al gabe ha'ish, but now it is off the fire. So now if I were to cook something in this pot, for example, I now have a pot of boiling hot water. So if I were to drop an egg or gefilte fish or anything into this pot and boil it up that way, am I cooking in a kli rishon al gabe ha'ish? No. I'm cooking in a kli rishon shelo al gabe ha'ish. I'm cooking in something that itself got hot from fire. And that is still d'oraita. We're going to discuss today what the status of this item is when it's off the fire and not as hot. Because that's a machloket, and that has nafka mina for us, for halacha. Okay. So let's say I have a fire, and I put a pot of water on the fire. And I take it off the fire, and I pour it into another pot. What is the status of a second pot? What is that called?
Klisheni.
Klisheni. Very good. A secondary vessel. The second pot is a klisheni. Now we're going to see that there are different halachot, much more lenient halachot, that apply to a klisheni. Next week we're going to cover the third step, what's known as klishlishi. Once you pour from that second pot into a third pot, or into a cup, or into your soup bowl, that is a kli shlishi.
Kli rishon
means a first vessel. Kli sheni, secondary vessel. Oh, she'al gabe ha'esh means while on the fire. Shelo al gabe ha'esh means while not on the fire, while off the fire. Okay? So we are going to discuss this week primary and secondary, kli rishon and kli sheni. Next week we're going to cover kli shlishi. We're also going to be covering a little bit today, a little bit in much more in about next week or in 2 weeks, is what's called Eroi. What does the word Eroi mean? Eroi means pouring. Let's say I have here on my plate,
what does it mean?
Eroi means pouring. Chayim Yod Resh Vav Yod. Let's say I have in my plate or my bowl or my cup, like I put a tea bag in my cup. And I take from this Kli Rishon, I have a Kli Rishon on the fire filled with boiling water, and I take it off and I pour it into the cup. But on the way into the cup, what does it hit? My tea bag. So what is cooking my tea bag? What is cooking my tea bag is water that is being poured from a Kli Rishon. Yes, my tea bag's in a Kli Sheni, but it's not a Kli Sheni that's cooking it, it's water being poured from a Kli Rishon. So we're going to see that the status of a pouring from a Kli Rishon is similar to a Kli Rishon. It's more similar to a Kli Rishon than it is to the Kli Sheni it's landing in. So if I were to pour from the first pot into this cup and then put the tea bag in, it's now being cooked only in a Kli Sheni. But if I put the bag in first and pour onto it from the Kli Rishon, that is being cooked in what's called Eroi Kli Rishon. So those are the terms we're going to need to know.
So Eroi Kli Rishon is not an example when you put the tea bag
in. You put the tea bag in first, so when you pour water onto it, it's being cooked by water poured from a Kli Rishon.
Yeah.
If I pour the water into the cup first and suck the bag into the cup, the tea is being cooked not by Eroi Kli Rishon, but by a Kli Sheni. Okay? That is our background in terms of terms that we're going to need to know to understand the halachot we're going to learn about today. Now let's start with source one. Source one should be familiar because we discussed it last week. The Mishnah says, "Ein notnin beitza betzada mecham b'shvil shel tidgalga." We don't take an egg and put it next to the kettle in order for it to roll. We said roll means here to cook. We don't stick it next to the kettle. And the Gemara is going to discuss what this means. Now, let me ask you, this mecham, where is this kettle? Is it on the fire or is it off the fire? We're going to assume this kettle is a Kli Rishon, meaning what happened to this kettle? How did it get hot? It got hot by us putting it on the fire. Now the halacha comes and says, you can't put an egg next to that kettle. Where is the kettle? Is it still on the fire? Oh, it's a Kli Rishon al gabei ha'ish? Or is it now off the fire? We're talking about a Kli Rishon shelo al gabei ha'ish. No, the kettle was put on the fire before Shabbos. But the question is, now you want to put the egg next to it, on Shabbos. Okay? Correct. You can't put the kettle on Shabbos.
Next to the fire? Or?
Next to the egg. Next to the kettle, which was on the fire. Or is it next to the kettle, which is now off the fire? So it seems pretty clear that we're talking about where it's off the fire. Because otherwise, there'd be no question. Can I put an egg on a kettle that's on a fire? That's what Bishul d'Oraita was. Remember, what was Bishul in the example of the Mishkan? What have we been saying? Bishul was, they were cooking what? Dyes. How do you cook a dye? You have a fire, you have a pot, you have water in it. That's what cooking was. It's over a fire, through a pot. So to say that putting the egg next to that wouldn't be d'Oraita is crazy. So this is very clear in Perash of Mishnayot of the Rambam. Source 2, Rambam explaining this Mishnah. Mecham, where is this kettle? Shem, what is a kettle? Shema kli shemecham bo mayim. That's the name of a pot which you use to cook water. V'osin oto al harov v'nechoshem, we make it from copper. O barzel, from iron. V'nishar cham zman rav, and once you heat it up, it stays hot a long time. Even acharei horadato me'al ha'ish. Even when? Once you remove it from the fire. So the Rambam is saying that we are talking about in this Mishnah, ein notnin beitza betzada mecham, you can't put an egg next to a pot, even once it is removed from a fire. Why? It stays hot, even once it's removed from the fire. Kli Rishon, shelo al gabei ha'ish, even once it's off the fire, it remains hot enough to cook this egg, and that you are not allowed to do on Shabbos. Or as the Rambam Paskins Lemaisa, source 3, Hanote Beitza Betzara Mechamish Vil Shetit Galgel, you put the egg next to the kettle so it'll cook. Vin it galgala, and it indeed cooked. Chayav. You were chayav for cooking on Shabbos. Why? Shem Vashel Betoladata Or, Kim Vashel Be'or Atzma. If you take this egg and cook in this manner, it's as like you cook the egg directly in the fire, as though you just boiled up this egg or roasted this egg. That is how the Rambam paskins this halacha. Now let's look at the following case. Yes?
What happens if you had two pots, one had water in it, one didn't, but they were both on the fire?
Correct. It's not a din in the water, it's a din in having been on the fire.
Not about different cases.
Oh, okay, go.
Like, if you've got two pots, one had water, one didn't.
Okay.
They're both on the fire, you took them both off, and then you poured the water from one into the other. Would that be considered a kli shami?
No, because it was on the fire too.
But without water?
Yeah. It's being on the fire makes it on the fire.
Right.
It's not a din in the water. Okay? Let's look at source 4. There's another case the Mishnah discusses. Now this one seems to be a little more, possibly a little more lenient, or at least quotes a more lenient view. Ha'ilfas, va'akadera, these are kinds of pots. She'he'evira nirutachin. You remove them while they were hot. So what are we talking about? We're talking about a kli rishon or sheni? Kli rishon. And they were on the fire, and now they're not. So they're shelo al gabei ha'esh. The Mishnah says, Lo yitein l'tochan tavlin. You cannot put a spice in them. Most spices, we're not talking about maybe there's some kinds of spices are cooked. You got a spice in a container, it could be cooked.
You can't put a spice in when it's on the fire.
You certainly can't put in a spice while it's on the fire. That's clear. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. You can't pour ingredients in a pot on a fire on Shabbos. That's across the board. But here we're discussing the pot that was on the fire and now is off the fire. For example, you took some chicken soup. You boiled it up before Shabbos in the appropriate way, and in the coming weeks we're going to discuss how to do that. But now your chicken soup, it's Friday night, and you take it off the fire. And it's very, very, very hot because it was cooked appropriately, and it's very, very hot, and everybody's looking forward to their hot chicken soup. And you take the first bowl of it, and you taste it, and you go, oh man, this thing is missing a lot of garlic powder. Or onion powder, or parsley, or I don't know, all the spices you would put in your chicken soup. So what do you want to do? You want to add it. So I'm going to start pouring in spices. So this Mishnah says, you can't put spices in a pot that was a kli rishon. Even if it's a kli rishon that you remove from the fire, even if it's off the fire, since it's a kli rishon, you can't put uncooked spices in it. Yes? In which case? In a tea?
Yeah, it was from that. Sugar is considered an ingredient.
What are we discussing? I don't understand the question.
Well, you said you can't put ingredients in.
You can't put it into that big pot.
In a tea ration.
In a clear ration. It's a clear ration.
So when you put the water from the dirt into your cup, it's still a clear ration.
When I put it into my cup is not a clear ration. While it's being poured from the soup, it's a kli rishon. But in my cup, it's a kli sheni.
So saying you put in the tea bag and the sugar without the water, then you're pouring the water from the kli rishon, is there a problem of cooking the sugar?
Yes. Okay. Because it's iroi. We were discussing iroi from kli rishon is like a kli rishon. You have to put those ingredients into the kli sheni after the hot water.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that. So here we have kli rishon off the fire. You can't put spices in it. That's what the Tanakhama, the Mishnah, says. The Mishnah quotes another shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, l'kol hu notein. Yes, you can put it in. Chutz midavar sheyesh bo chometz v'tzir, unless it's something that has vinegar or brine, because somehow those things must cook even in this situation. So it seems we have a machloket tanaim about whether we're allowed to put food in a kli rishon once it's off the fire. So before we get too excited by this, Tosfot limits it. Source 4, Tosfot says, L'chol kedero rotcho hunotein. You can put it in any kli you want, even a hot kli. Torah so adds the word rotcho. It's not in our Girsa the Gemara. Tosfos says nira the davka betavlin palik, specifically spices. Aval b'shar dvarim moded the kli rishon levashel af kashiviru me'alahor. So no, don't think you can just cook whatever you want in this pot once it's off the fire. Rabbi Yehuda is mekel specifically about spices. Spices you can put in the pot even once it's off the even if it's a kli rishon since it's off the fire. But that's only Rabbi Yehuda's view. We saw the Tanakama doesn't allow even that. And we, of course, passing like this, Tanakama, source 5, the Shulchan Aruch says, kli rishon, and the parentheses tells you what that is, pirish, ha-kli shemishtamish bo ala-ish, the vessel that was used on the fire, afilu la-achar shaviro me-ala-ish, even once you remove it from the fire, mivashel, it cooks, kol's man, she-yatza le-dipo, as long as it's still hot. Lefichach, asur litein letocho tavlin. You cannot put spices into such a pot.
So when it cools down again.
Oh, that is going to be our focus today. Very good. What did the Shulchan Aruch say as his qualifier? Kol's man, shayatza letitbo. As long as it's hot. So is it true, the deal that he just made, that once it's no longer hot, I can add more ingredients. Let's look at a discussion between what is the difference between a kli rishon and a kli sheni. Why, when I take this food off the fire, can I not cook in it, even though it's off the fire? But all of a sudden, when I pour it into another pot, I can cook in it, seemingly. Okay, so we'll slightly limit that too. But that is what these Rishonim are going to discuss. What is the Hagdara? How do we define the difference between a Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? How do we define what a Kli Rishon is? So first, let's look at an interesting Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, Ma ben Kli Rishon, Ma ben Kli Sheni. What's the difference between the two of them? Amar Rabbi Yossi, Kan Hayat Sholetet. Here, your hand is in control of it. V'kan Ein Hayat Sholetet. You can leave your hand on a pot that is a Kli Sheni, and you cannot do that when it's a Kli Rishon. Amar Rabbi Yona, Kan V'kan Ein Hayat Sholetet. He does not accept that distinction. He says, no, you can leave your hand even on a kli rishon. Rather, asu herchak l'kli rishon, velo asu herchak l'kli sheni. There may not be a practical, fundamental difference between the two. One can be just as hot. You stuck a thermometer in each, not on Shabbos, you stuck a thermometer in each and measured the temperature. The temperature may be the same or millidegrees off. Nonetheless, one of them, asu herchak, and one of them, lo asu herchak. What's asu herchak? Asu, they made. Herchak, stay away from. What are we talking about?
Distance from the...
Who? Who's they?
The rabbis.
The rabbis. So, in other words, he's saying, it's a gzera derabbanan. They say, you cannot cook in a kli rishon when it's off the fire. Why? What might you do? If I let you pour spices or food into the kli rishon when it's off the fire, what might you do?
Do it when it's on the fire.
Do it when it's on the fire. But if in order to pour spices into this food, you not only have to take it off the fire, you have to transport it to another pot. If I let you pour spices into that, you're not going to come to cook something while it's on the fire. Pouring spices while it's on the fire. That is what Yerushalmi says is the difference between the two. Interesting, later in that same parak, Yerushalmi gives a nice other definition for what a kli rishon is. Yerushalmi says, Ezu tavshil, what is considered something cooking? Barur, or tavshil barur, what is clearly an item being cooked. Kol sha or mahalich tachtav. Anything with the fire underneath it. Okay, here the definition is while it's on the fire. So according to this definition, anything that is not on the fire, if it's off the fire, that at that point would not be fishal d'oraita. So let's start first seeing what we've discovered about a kli rishon not on the fire. Kli rishon shelo al gabei ha'ish. What is the status of the kli rishon once it is removed from the fire? We have two possibilities.
What is the first reason here?
The Yerushalmi's first reason?
Yeah.
So the Yerushalmi's first reason had two answers. One, a practical answer. Okay, so the first Yerushalmi had two answers. One was a practical answer. You can leave your hand on kli sheni objects. You can't leave your hand on kli rishon objects. In other words, kli rishons are hot. Your hand is in control of a kli sheni. It's not in control of rishon. But that, so that was the view of Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yonah says, no, your hand can control both of them. Rather, it's a gzera derabanan. So we have two possibilities for the status of a kli rishon shelo agave aish. One is that it's asur midoraita, which means...
Rabbi Yonah
says it's a derabanan, not to put something in a kli rishon shelo agave aish. That is the other side here. Literally, Rabbi Yonah is saying it's an isor mide rabbanan. So, who says this? We just saw. Yerushalmi says, what is, let's read that second Yerushalmi again. Ezehu dav shel berur, kol sha or mahalich tachtav. It is only bishul d'oraita when? When there's a fire under it. When it is off the fire, cooking in it is only an isur midrabana. But who did we see that says it's an isur midoraita? It's asur midoraita. The Bavli. When the Gemara says, you can't put an egg next to a kettle, even after it's been removed from the fire. That means we're saying that the Torah asks you, even from cooking in a kli rishon, that's not on the fire. So we saw the Bavli. We saw too the Shulchan Aruch. And we saw. And most rishonim. Now check out the change the Gra makes to Yerushalmi. Let's see if you can tell me the difference between what he said. I didn't bold it. Look at that. Just to make a great test. I didn't bold it, not on purpose, but now it can be on purpose. Be'er Agra, Yoredeh, says, Va'av agav sheh b'Yerushalmi hanal amru kol sheh or mahalich tachtav rotze lomar be'kli shehayach ha'or mahalich tachtav. Even though the Yerushalmi says, what's bishul d'oraita? Only when the fire is under it. It means only when the fire was under it. Heard the difference? What's the difference?
So if you removed it, then the fire was under it.
Was under it. Then it's still bishul d'oraita, even once it's been removed from the fire. So we see in this side, we also have Gra. The Vilna Gaon, Alpi, HaYerushalmi. So the Vilna Gaon says Yerushalmi is not on the side that says Kli Rishon off the fire is Rabbanan. Rather, according to the Gra, Yerushalmi is also on the side that a Kli Rishon, when it's off the fire, is also De'oraita. Okay. was the Lashon of the first Yerushalmi, according to Rabbi Yossi? What distinction did he make? He said, Kan Hayad Sholetet, V'kan Ein Hayad Sholetet. Here the hand is in control, and here the hand is not in control. Now, the first week, I discussed the term with you. What term did I use?
Yad
Sholetet Bo. What does that mean? It would jump back. Your hand recoils from it. Is Yad Sholetet Bo the same as Yad Sholetet Bo? Your hand can't control it, or your hand jumps back from it. Now again, the opposite. But meaning, when your hand controls it, does that mean it's not Yad Sholetet Bo? And when your hand can't control it, that means it is Yad Sholetet Bo? Are those two terms, in other words?
Does control mean to pick it up, or move it, or...
Okay, what does that mean?
It can be like that. It can be just pulling out for your attention for like 3 seconds.
For like 3 seconds and your hand doesn't jump back. Excellent. Okay? So, that is a discussion the Shach has. Okay? Next source. The Shach says, he quotes the Maharshal. The Maharshal says, the two are one and the same. Meaning they may be the complement of each other. When you can control it, it means your hand doesn't jump back. When you can't control it, it's because your hand jumps back. It's that simple. Kein katav Maharshal, I didn't give you the full quote. Ela shacharkach. Ella the Mustafina, the Mershal says, I was afraid. La Hakel the Kli Rishon Shalmid Ala Ish, Kozman Shulcham, Afilo Eina Yatzaledipo. What case is he discussing? Let's say I just stuck something on the fire. Okay, maybe it's the minute before Shabbos, and I put something on the fire, and it's not yet that hot that I can't leave my hand on it. In fact, you gave an example of 3 seconds, I can put my hand on it for 5 seconds. 10 seconds, it is not quite hot on yet. Quite hot yet. But what is it? It's on the fire. Can I throw something into it? So he says, Arsu Harchakal the Klirishon, no. You cannot put anything in a pot that's on the fire. Kidita Birushami. So says the Shach after citing that Maharshal. I don't quite understand this Maharshal. The Harev Yerushalmi Perakira Ita Dasu Harchaka L'Kli Rishon. Yerushalmi says they made a harchaka for a Kli Rishon she'ein hayad sholetet bo. Let's look again. Amar Rabbi Yona, Kan v'kan ein hayad sholetet bo. Both of them you can't control. Ela Asu Harchaka L'Kli Rishon. It's not because you can control one and not the other. No, they're both really hot and you can't control it. Rather, they made a gzera on one of them. So says the Shach, they made the gzera even though you can't control it. Hainu she'en la yad shlita bo, the hainu yad sholetet bo. Aval kishayad sholetet bo, on the other hand, when your hand can control it, muchach hadam Yerushalmi, the hedja, the shari, the kuliyama, v'chein haskamar aposkim. So according to the Shach, yad sholetet bo and yad sholetet bo are not the same. And in fact, when yad sholetet bo, when it's not yet hot enough, you actually can add stuff to it.
Wait, so it's saying when it's not hot enough, as in it's not enough for you to touch
it and control it. That's what the Shach says, disagreeing with the Maharshal. So now, let's make our next show. Who is the Shach? Excellent. It's on the back of your page. Who is the Shach? Rabbi Shabtai Meir HaKohen lived in the 17th century. And he was born in Lithuania, studied in many Polish cities, and he returned to Vilna, where he ended up working in the Beit Din, and he eventually became a rabbi in Moravia, where he served many years, until he died, and he has a parish on the Shulchan Aruch, known as the Siftei Kohen, or the Shach. Okay, so now we are going to do our second chart. This is Kli Rishon Shelo Agabe Aish. Now we are going to discuss Kli Rishon She'ein Hayad Sholetet Bo. A Kli Rishon that is not hot. What is its status? Is it mutter to cook something in it? In other words, to throw something in that should get cooked. So we have, let's be consistent, we have
Does this mean that this ingredient has to be able to be cooked at a far low temperature?
Yeah, but it's still being.
Like what, 45 degrees?
Yeah. Okay, that's pretty close to it. You'd have 44 then. Today outside it was almost 40 degrees. I felt it was hot enough to boil an egg. Then if you walk outside today, so we have two options here. It's mutar, or it's still less cold. Now, who said it was mutar? We just saw. The shock said it's mutar. Who said it was asur? Who did the shock say? Maharshal. Let's be a little clearer though. Asur mean the Rabbanan. So this side is stricter, this side is more lean. Let's see another view. Mishnah Brura. It's mutar. Permissible. Lechatchila. What? It's mutar. Okay. We're talking about a pot that was on the fire, and it's not hot.
Is there any difference if it's still on the fire, but the fire is not cooled down, the fire is being extinguished?
Possibly. Likely. But we're going to discuss that in the future weeks, because when we discuss using fires on Shabbos, we're going to discuss that it has to be on a blast and, or a covered fire where you can't come to soak the coals. So where the fire has cooled off, that it's not hot anymore. So maybe, but only if it's in a situation where you can't get the fire to be any hotter. Okay, so we're going to discuss that. So for right now, let's just assume not. Off the fire, and it's not Yatzel let it go anymore. Okay? Says the Mishnah Berurah, She Yatzel let it go. Avalim ena Yatzel let it go. Afilu kli rishon eno mevasha. The first, a kli rishon doesn't cook when it's no longer hot. If it's not hot enough to make your hand recoil from it, it no longer cooks. Either practically no longer cooks, or whatever it does is not considered cooking. That's something we're going to discuss right now. V'imlo heviru me'ala esh, aser liten l'tofa tavlin, v'afilu melach, v'chogavna, etc. Wine, v'afilu daita l'salka d'kdera maher misham pen yishkach achit basha. He says, if you didn't take it off the fire, it's on the fire, you can't add something, even if it's not that hot. If it's in a spot where it could get that hot. And you can't do this even if you intend to remove it before it does get that hot, for the very simple reason, you might forget, and it will get that hot, and you'll violate Bishul on Shabbos. Okay. Now, let's discuss just a quick review of what we just said, and we'll move to the discussion of what's the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. We saw that some say that Kli Rishon She'en Hayatzel Let It Bo. Let's start with this one. Is there a direct, is there an Isser Deraita to cook in a Kli Rishon while it's off the fire? We saw the Bavli, the Shah of the Bavli, as the Shulchan Aruch, the Moshe Rishon Baskin, is that it's Asur Midoraita. We saw the Yerushalmi, the Shah of the Yerushalmi was that it's Midorabbanan. The Gra changes the Girsa of the Yerushalmi, or reinterprets the Yerushalmi, and says, even according to the Yerushalmi, it's Asur Midoraita. How do you, Paskin?
That's what the temperature is yesterday.
Say it again? Well, it is still Yatzel Let It Bo, correct. Okay, so how do we paskin? So the Ramban actually paskins, it's not Doraita, but the Ran says, because it's a machloket, Bavli and Yerushalmi, we're machmir, and indeed that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Okay. Rabbeinu Yom Rabbi Yonah said, Chachamur gozer on a Kli Rishon, even when it's not Yatzel Let It Bo, which means that there's an Isser Derabbanan to cook in a Kli Rishon, even when it's cold. But the Shach says it's usher only while it's still scalding hot. And the Mishnah Brura, paskins like the Shach, that it is mutter, there is no iser, to even the Chachila put something in such a pot. Yes?
What's the practical difference if it's Derabbanan or Derabbanan in the top case?
In the top case?
Yeah,
whether you would have to be able to tell a non-Jew to do it for a sick person, etc. Okay? We don't have non-Jews do Derabbanan for us either. But for a Chola, or a Tzorech Rabim, etc., you might. That would be the difference. But we paskin this way, that it's also right. So we don't allow it. We would only allow it, therefore, for Sekhans Nefashos. Meaning not just a sick person, but for a very sick person.
Then he can just cook.
Yes. Then he can just cook. Correct. Now, we're going to move to Klishen. Let's first read the Gemara that discusses Klishen. Tells a story. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. We're four sources from the bottom. Shabbos.mem Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Pam achan nechlasti achar Rebbe lebein amerchatz. I followed Rabbi Yehuda Anasi into the bathhouse. Ubekan, I saw him in the bath. And I said, would you like me to make a nice bath for you? What can I do? Bikashti laniach lo pach shel shemen babati. Let me put in some oil. Make it a nice, luxurious bath. Va'amar li, it was Shabbos, okay, in this story. Didn't say it, but it's Shabbos. Told the kli sheni v'tein. He says, you can't boil that water in the kli rishon of the bathhouse, but you can do so in a kli sheni. And he says, so I'm not really getting into the full details of this case, I just want to focus on one line of it. He says, Shema mina tva, we learn three things from it. Shema mina shemen yeshbo misham bishul. You might think oil is cooked, because part of the oil process is boiling something, I guess. Nonetheless, it's still usher to cook oil. Shema mina kli sheni enu mevashel. Some reason you cannot cook in a kli sheni. Here, taking this solidified oil and making it soft, that counts as cooking. So we are not focusing on number one and number three. We're not even focusing on the story so much here, for a different time. Right now, we are just focusing on the second conclusion, which the Gemara paskins la halacha, kli sheni eino mevashel. You cannot cook in a kli sheni. Kli sheni eino mevashel. How do we understand kli sheni eino mevashel? Well, we have two possibilities. What I'm going to call pragmatic lemaisa. In other words, you can't cook. It doesn't work. It doesn't do it. Okay? That's one possibility. The other possibility is, halachically. In other words, even if you look at it and you were to do an experiment and you put a food in it and you wait a certain amount of time and you come out and now the food wasn't edible and now it is edible, the food was slightly edible and now it's more edible, and you look at it at the end of the day, you enjoyed what happened there and you think it looks like it's cooking, halachically, we are not going to view that as cooking. Okay? Two possibilities. Either it pragmatically isn't cooking, because it won't work, or even if it does work, and we don't care if it works, because halakhically, that is not viewed as cooking. That distinction is clear to everybody? Now let's see who says what. Chidushe Arashva, three sources from the bottom. Lo amru kli rishon mekli sheni, elafim pnei shezeh mevashel, vizeh einu mevashel. This one cooks, and this one doesn't cook. So which side is the Rashba? The one who says, practically it doesn't cook, or halachically it doesn't cook?
Practically.
Excellent. That's the kind of participation I like to hear, guys, by the way. Where you all call out the answer. Okay? That means I presented it well, because you got the answer. Okay, good. Let's work on that. Let's see another view. Tosfot. Ushmamina klisheni enum avasha. Tema. Maishna klisheni mikli rishon. What's the difference? E yatzo let it bo. If it's so hot, afilu klisheni nami. You shouldn't be allowed to cook in a klisheni either if it's so hot. Ve'i en yatzo let it bo. And if it's not hot anymore, afilu kli rishon nami enum avasha. You can look. And even though I have a pot that was on the fire, if I take it off the fire, and some time passes, it doesn't cook. So Tosfot says, what are we looking? Why do we care if it's the original pot, if it's the second pot? Our hakara, our distinction, our definition, our weight beside the shiloh should be, let's look at the temperature. Is it hot enough to cook or not? What do I care if it's a kli rishon or a kli sheni? Okay, good question Tosfot asks. Look at Tosfot's answer. V'yesh lomar, l'fi shekli rishon, mitov she'amar hala'or, dofnotav chamin, umachzik chomo zman meruba. Because it was on the fire, its walls are hot. And because its walls are hot, it maintains the heat better. Therefore, as long as it's still hot to touch, it's usher because it still maintains its heat. Aval kli sheni, but one that's been poured into a second pot. Aval gav diyad so let it bow. Even though, if you touch this kli sheni and it's still hot, and you can't touch it, your hand recoils. Oh my goodness, that was hot. Okay? You did that. You can't touch it. Nonetheless, says Tosfot, mutar she'ein dofnotav chamin v'holechem karev. Since its walls aren't hot from having been on a fire, it is like it is in a process of cooling off. It is not in a type of pot that maintains its heat. It's a type of pot that will slowly cool off. So a kli rishon that is not hot, you can't touch it, is cooking. While a kli sheni that is still hot isn't cooking, because one of them maintains its heat and one of them is slowly getting colder and colder. Before I get to your question, let me ask you a question. Is Tosfot pragmatic? Is he saying this way cooks and this way doesn't cook? Or is he halachic? This way is halachically viewed as cooking, or this way is halachically not viewed as cooking? Which one is Tosfot?
Halachic.
Anybody disagree?
Wait, so is halachic one saying isn't halachically okay or not?
In other words, halacha views this as cooking, regardless of whether it actually cooks, and halacha doesn't view this as cooking, regardless of whether it actually cooks. Okay, so Tosfot, is he saying something pragmatic or halachic? You all said halachic?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to write.
I'll say the other one.
You're going to say the other one. Yudhi?
Yes.
Yudhi, okay. Tosfot, Alpi Rov Akita, says that it's halachically or pragmatic, which you all said halachic.
Yeah.
Pirov Hakita says it's halachic, and Tosfot, Alpi Yudhi, says it's pragmatic. And I wrote both of them down because the Acharonim are split on interpreting this Tosfot. Just like we had right here, though maybe one in four in real life too. Because a lot of people have a hard time understanding that somehow, how can you explain that an item that's hotter, a kli sheni that's hotter, isn't cooking, while a kli rishon that's cold is cooking? So since we can't understand that conceptually, we say, he must be having a halachic definition. But there are some who take Tosfot literally, and they say, nope, Tosfot should say pragmatically. Since the walls of a kli sheni aren't in the process of maintaining heat, so then it's not going to cook as well as one that has walls that contain heat, even though it is not quite so hot. Now, we're not talking about something that's freezing cold. Even Tosfot, or whoever, agrees with that. We're talking about one that It's still somewhat hot, just not got to let it go anymore. So, we saw the pragmatic determination or the halachic determination. Let's look at one more explanation. We've seen three. We've seen Rashba, pragmatic, Tosaf being pragmatic, and Tosaf being halachic. Let's look at one more. Or Sameach. Who was Or Sameach? Good. Trained you well. Look on the back. Rameir Simcha Kohen of Dvinsk. He was a rabbi in the 19th and early 20th century. He was the Rav of a town in Dvinsk, where another rabbi named the Rugachever Gaon also was, but one of them was the rabbi for the Misnagdim in that town, and one of them was the rabbi for the Hasidim in the town. And the Or Sameach, who was, the Rugachever was known as this incredible Gaon, really incredible genius, and stories abound at different time. And he still respected this Or Sameach, who was also Talmud Chacham in his own right. And the Or Sameach wrote the Or Sameach on the Rambam and certain parts of the Gemara, and some Tshuvot, all published in the name Or Sameach. And he also wrote a parish on Chumash known as the Meshech Chachma. His name was Meir Simcha, Or Sameach. Meir Simcha means Meir, well, he will enlighten, Simcha, joy. Or light, Sameach, happy. Okay, it's an amalgamation of his name. And the Meshech Chachma, Mem Shin Chaf, Meir Simcha Kohen. Okay, so he used those clever names. So, Or Sameach, last source. Why is Kli Sheni Einam Vashel? Dehave Toledo the Toledo. It is not that it cooked in the fire, and therefore it's Toledo hot water, meaning this item that was in the fire is now cooking my water or my spices or whatever else. But rather, it is this item that was in the fire heated up this second pot, and this second pot is cooking. And since it's another step away, it's not usher. Ukemosh koach kocho lo chashiv kemo gufa davar. For example, if there's a rock on the ground here, and I kick it at you, and I break your leg, or your cow, or your phone, am I chayev? Of course I'm chayev. Why? Because that's called kocho. I kicked this rock, and I broke your item. But what about if I kick a rock down a hill, and on the bottom of the hill, it finds a domino rally, and all the dominoes start falling down miles and miles and miles away, and at the end of it, it knocks a pea or a butterfly who flaps his wing, and then something spills, and then somebody's clothes get ruined. Am I chayev for that? So the Allah says, no, koach kocho, is it really you doing it anymore? So he says, so too, toledah, the toledah is not really being cooked by the fire anymore. Kein toledah, toledah da'esh, lefi richo kichusa etz la'esh, nifkami men Hashem ha'esh. It's no longer considered having had a fire. It's as though this second pot that is hot by natural means. It's as though as it's supernaturally hot, rather than having been heated up by a fire. So, let me ask you, is the Or Sameach's explanation, one, a halachic determination, or a pragmatic determination? Allah. Good. Because he is saying it is not considered bishul unless it is something that got hot by a fire. If it got hot by something which itself got hot by a fire, that is not halachically bishul. So according to this side, even though something practically can cook, I will show you the item before and after, and you'll say, yeah, that cooked. Halachically, that is not considered cooking. And that is the background to understand why Kli Sheni is not Mevashel. Next week, we're going to cover Kli Shlishi. Yes?
What happens if you had a pot that was left out in the sun, and it was hot, and you put the water from the kitchen that was like also hot into the oven?
So you're saying it's both a Kli Sheni from a fire, but it's a Toledah HaChama. We discussed last week that a toldah nechama is a problem. So, just like you asked about pouring one kli rishon into another kli rishon, here you're pouring one kli rishon into another kli rishon. It's not kli rishon from a fire, kli rishon from the sun. So it's still a problem. Okay? Thank you for coming. This is your time. I'll see you next week. Okay.